Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on the 26th of October, 2020. It's a gloomy Monday here in Maine, but we're going to go all the way across the country. We're going to stop in Illinois, okay, in Litchfield, Illinois, to have a wonderful conversation with the superintendent of schools there, Greg Furstenow, and then we're going to continue trekking across, like Lewis and Clark, and we're going to get down to Yakima, Washington, where Peter Finch is the assistant superintendent for teaching and learning in West Valley School District. We were going to stop and meet Dr. Summer Schultz, who's the superintendent in Del Rapids, South Dakota, but unfortunately she's a little under the weather today and couldn't join us. We're going to talk about a wonderful experience that I joined in with last week, which was the early learning cohort of the American Association of School Administrators, AASA, the Superintendent Association. Their early learning symposium last week was all about equity and early learning. And they had a group of about 50 people there. I was one of the participants, which was a barrel of fun. And we talked a great deal about equity, which, as you know, is near and dear to me, and early learning. And that's a key thing. And we'll talk about some of the takeaways with Greg and Peter in just a few minutes. We're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. As you probably know by now, that is the website for our American Consortium. I didn't even have time to shut her down for the mute the mic. The American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. Please join with us. It's free to educators. Our online journal, Equity and Access, is over there. I think you'll be impressed and enjoy reading it if you go over and do that. We put all the podcasts over there, but we want your voice heard. We really are the only people out there, okay, in the media world and education focusing strictly on equity and access. We want to hear what you have to say. So it's all over at ace-ed.org. And by the way, you can follow what we're doing here at EduTalk Radio on Twitter, and my name on LinkedIn, which is Larry Jacobs, and then Larry Jacobs or Education Talk Radio on Facebook. And I hope you do, and I hope you join our consortium at ace-ed.org. I said it enough. Let me welcome my friend Peter first of all. Hello, Peter. We'll skip over to Yakima. How you doing?
Hey, doing great. It was so great to finally see you because I've been on the radio before, but it was great to Zoom and see you.
It is fun, isn't it, when, you know, I talk to a lot of people and I meet people at conferences and I tell everybody I look like Brad Pitt and they're just amazed how exactly I do look like him. Aren't you amazed?
I have a face for radio myself.
No, you don't. You're a handsome man. Hollywood calls. I got to tell you, Peter, Hollywood's calling. That's
the other Peter
work with you. That's why we work with you on radio, because you're so good at your job as assistant superintendent in West Valley. We don't want you to leave for a big Hollywood contract. That would be ridiculous. Okay,
no, you've got the wrong Peter Finch there, Larry.
Well, that's right, the actor. That I forgot. I always get you guys mixed up from Network, right. Okay. Hey, Greg, are you – I actually wasn't thinking of the names. I knew the name sounded familiar. I hadn't been placing it before. Congratulations on your Oscar, by the way, 35, 40 years ago. Whatever. That's funny. Didn't even connect. Greg, are you there?
Yes, sir, Larry. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, my friend. How's Illinois today? The weather better than here in Maine, where it's gloomy and chilly and rainy?
Well, I tell you what, we might get a little dusting of snow. It's a little chilly, but you know, it is that time of the year, Larry.
No, the worst is yet to come, my friend. It's only October 26th. Let's give ourselves a break. I used to live in Chicago, by the way. I know Illinois, but I don't know Litchfield. Tell us about Litchfield, Greg.
Well, we're a community of roughly 7,000 people. We're between Springfield, Illinois, and St. Louis. So we're right on
I-55. Wow. Sure. I've driven through, obviously. I just didn't remember it. I've done that ride. I'll be darned.
Yeah. We're a rural school district in Illinois, but we sit right on the interstate. So we're one of those towns that, you know, benefits from the traffic up and down 55.
Absolutely. And what's the school district demographics? What's that like? Is it mostly rural? Is it mostly rural kids?
Yeah, we're rural.
Yeah, talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, we're a rural pre-K through 12 district, or what they call in Illinois a unit school district. We have
Illinois does that to drive us all crazy. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. Illinois has, we only have the largest number of school districts in the nation. You know, 864 of us, right? But we're a PK district of around 1,400 students, and our demographics are we're in rural poverty. Roughly 65% of our student population is free and reduced lunch. So we have kind of a mixed bag of students, so to say, with that situation. But we do face quite a bit of rural poverty in our area.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I wasn't quite expecting that. But I'm sure everybody stands up and cheers and rises up and all that sort of thing. It must be good in that regard. And I'm anxious to hear a little bit more about what you're doing regarding early learning and all that. At Litchfield, Illinois, everybody. And, Peter, how can I not ask? Tell us about life in West Valley in your school district, Yakima, Washington.
Yeah, Yakima's a wonderful place. I grew up here. My parents were both teachers. My grandfather was a band director, so I run into former students of my parents and my grandfather all the time. So we are in an agricultural area. It's in central Washington State. It's east of the Cascade Mountains. It's beautiful agricultural area. And our student demographics, we have about 35 to 40% Latino, Latina. I guess we're Latinex.
That's the new term, Latinx.
So then, about maybe 5% other, and we, the rest is white, and we actually are having a growing Hispanic community in our community, and
good.
Really proud that we have a pipeline of educators that we're having our students from high school get interested in education, and they go through. We have a partnership with our local college. They're no longer a community college because they're doing bachelor's degrees, and so cohort of student teachers is majority minority and majority bilingual. And we're having the first cohort. We're hiring those graduates to be our teachers. So that's pretty exciting.
Nice. That's very exciting, by the way. That's very exciting. And I'm curious. I'm going to ask Greg the same type of question. Okay, you went to school there. All right, and now you said that obviously you are not Latino, so therefore I'm going to ask you, how has the population changed, okay, if it has, since you grew up and went to school there?
Is that for Greg?
No, it's for you.
And oh, for
I'm
me.
Ask the same
oh, yeah.
kind of
well,
question
just
to the, Greg.
There's been, just a growing Hispanic community, and mm-hmm. you know, with the ways things have changed. There's not as many migrant workers. It's more families that have settled in the Yakima Valley, and so, you know, large number of our students are no longer migrant students or even immigrants.
Good.
They're American citizens, and
yes, they
and
are.
They're working for the American dream.
Right. That is great. I was curious because one of the great challenges as a school district changes, and so many of them do, as new people begin to move in, et cetera, okay, we need to be culturally responsive, okay, to their needs. And I was just curious how it has changed from what you remember as a kid to what it is now, and it's obviously going more and more to the Latino side. We'll talk about that. And, Greg, I'm going to pick up on your line when you said rural poverty, okay? Illinois has always been a breadbasket state. Has it always been a poverty area, so to speak, a free and reduced lunch area, or has that changed over the course of time, Greg?
I think that's changed over a course of time as you take a look at what the demographics are. I think that, with society being mobile that it is right now,
yeah.
we have a lot of families move into our community that may be here a year or so, and then they move with other families or that type of situation. But I think that particularly in the central region of Illinois that Montgomery County is one of the poorest counties per capita in the state of Illinois, which we reside in. And I think it comes down to job opportunities or good-paying jobs for folks. And that's so important that we continue to work on developing our region. One of the things, Larry, that we're looking at creating is an innovation center of 12 school districts within our rural area to go together and work with providing opportunities for our early learners as well as our high school students so that they possess job skills to be able to go out into the world of work and make a livable wage. So we've definitely seen our numbers upticking. Definitely the recession did not help Illinois,
and
particularly
it is not helping,
our area. We still haven't recovered. But, you know, education has to play such a big part in as the governor of Illinois wants to rebuild Illinois. We're at a good point that we have to be a major player in rebuilding Illinois.
Hear, hear. I couldn't agree with you more. And that innovation center, is it going to be part of an ESA, an educational service agency, or how does that actually come about? I'm just curious before we get into everything else.
What that's going to be is that we're going to have the innovation center here in Litchfield, and then we're going to utilize each other's teachers to be able to teach on the career paths, that being ag, that being machining, that being welding. Technology,
that's great.
Based on the industries that we have in our area, but we want to be able to produce a workforce not only for students, but we're also going to be partnering with our community college in our town to provide adult retraining, and the Innovation Center also going to provide workforce development within our communities to help try to attract businesses to Central Illinois. And that's part of our situation. And we've also instituted a PK through 12th grade career and technical curriculum. Is so important, breaking down those barriers, as we discussed at the symposium, right? So we've got quite a few things going on here in Litchfield.
Boy, that is terrific. And I'll tell you, when those kids get to be welders and plumbers, that ends the poverty cycle, because you can't afford a welder or a plumber these days. They're going to be rich and build the big house at the top of the hill, if there are hills. I know there are no hills where you are, but that's besides the point. Okay, it's great. I think it's wonderful. Good luck with that, Greg. I really mean that. I hope it all works out. It works out great. Guys, we were discussing early learning last week and equity, and it was an AASA symposium through their early learning cohort, and Eddie Manusak, Manusak of Dundee Hills, Michigan, was Dundee Community Schools in Michigan, was leading that, bless his heart for doing that, all right? And so I'm curious, all right, you were just talking about an innovation center, a pre-K career tech course. I loved when you said that a few minutes ago, Greg. Okay, what is prompting your interest, both of you as superintendents, okay, in early learning specifically, and do you see equity problems there, equity challenges there? I'll go back to Greg. Greg, talk what brings you into the early learning cohort, why it's so important, and just throw equity in there if you wish.
Yeah, sure, Larry. You know, and Peter is too. We're one of the founding members that went to the first early learning cohort, okay? So early learning has always been at the top of my list in terms of the educational process. You know, if we do not provide a solid early learning platform or program for our children, then we're going to have issues as they move into our upper grades if they definitely do not have those programs. And I think this is where equity comes in, Larry, is the fact that we have to break down some barriers, right, that we are providing, you know, quality and good educational opportunities for our kids of who needs it. And our kids need that early learning, and my office happens to be in the preschool center in Litchfield, and it's amazing
close to it
to see our early learners coming in each day. And, and we talked about this, and it's so important to our parents to build that connection with our parents of our early learners, that school matters. It's important. And that we provide that, as I indicated at the breakout session at symposium, you know, we have almost 100% of our preschool students are in session, attending school right now, right?
Good.
And
good.
So it's very important to them that they get these fundamentals. I think with one of the barriers with equity is, in, you know, with our early childhood programs, that we have to get the get our professionals paid as professionals. We pay our teachers as they would be a high school teacher here in Litchfield. And that's so critical that we pay attention to our child care and our early childhood learners. If we don't do that, as to coin a phrase from one of our colleagues, Michael Kurt from Wichita Falls, we're not going to have them ready at the start line to
start
school if we don't start paying attention.
That's right. And Greg, you said something. You said something interesting a minute ago. You phrased it this way. Correct me if I'm wrong. You said that you need to. We need to convince families. And I may have heard you wrong. I just want to correct it. That school really matters. Early learning really matters. Do people understand how important early learning is to their kids and to their kids' success at school?
You know, I think that we're seeing that in a time as we're making more and more as we make a commitment. I think the main thing, Larry, is that we have to sustain that, just not starting in our preschool program, that they maintain that enthusiasm and they stick with that all the way through their educational system to the 12th grade. And that's where we talked about, too, the parent partnerships, right? How do we break down those barriers with parents? To have good communication with them. But definitely the early learners, the parents are very concerned about their children at that point in time.
Good. It's very interesting. You keep using the word barriers. And I want to ask you, again, I'm going to get over back to you in a minute, Peter, but I want to stick with Greg for a minute. When you say barriers, what kind of barriers are you talking about, Greg? Because you're in a small, and I believe me, everybody can picture it. It's a nice community. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, you know, like my little community in Cornish, Maine. It's a nice community, nice people.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But what kind of barriers are you? Are you when you say the word barriers, and particularly in early learning, how are you using that word?
Yeah, I think that we have some folks that don't have cars. Transportation issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get to school. I think that you know we have a lot of single moms.
Mm-hmm.
With multiple children and juggling that as well as juggling work. I think that a lot of our jobs are minimum wage jobs and people have to deal with that situation in terms of educating their kids. And I think it's just the actual educational experiences that kids receive at home. I think if you're having trouble with living, you know, finding accommodations or multiple families living together.
Or food.
Unlike our kids or my children, we read to them. We participated. It doesn't mean they're bad parents. It means that they're just doing the things that they have to do to be able to put ends meet on the table and do the best, you know, for their children. They truly want the best for their children. I think sometimes they just have some things that they're dealing with that other parents aren't having to deal with.
Right, and that was beautifully said and well said, and it's astounding how, and I'll say it again, a sweet little community like Litchfield, okay, a farming community, okay, can have the same challenges, and I can have that same conversation with a big urban district, okay? The same problems exist, which says that if we can kind of cure these, we might be able to make it universal. I think that what you said was very important, Greg, and I know you're doing a great job facing these issues. Peter, let's go over to Yakima, West Valley. Do you have the same challenges in early learning?
Well, first of all, it's just so great listening to Greg, and that's so exciting to be part of this national cohort of colleagues. You know, we're coming from that perspective as superintendents where we can see the whole system and we see the importance of, just like Greg had talked about Mike Kurt in Wichita Falls, getting kids to the starting line of kindergarten at the same level and having them be kindergarten ready. There's so much that brain development that happens prenatal to age five. And the more we can do outreach and help to remove those barriers, like Greg was just talking about, the better it is for kids. One of the ways of doing that is through home visiting programs. Like Greg was saying, if a family is just worried, you know, having to make ends meet and getting food on the table, they're not going to have a lot of extra money to be buying books and educational games and such. And we have a home visiting program where we're going and meeting twice a week with families and bringing them a book, bringing them an educational game, and then modeling how to use this game with their child and have that engagement, the call and response that builds brains. And so, you know, it's very exciting to see this happen. And we've been having it for quite a while in West Valley. Certainly have to give a shout-out to our Senator Patty Murray, who was a preschool teacher herself. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the rewriting, she and Lamar Alexander, you know, worked together to write what is now called the Every School Succeeds Act. And in that, there's flexibility to use Title I funds for early learning. So we use a portion of our Title I funds for that home visiting program. And we braid it with other funds as well. That's kind of being having the creativity as an administrator to have your priorities, have your goals, and then find a way to make it happen. You talked about the importance of early learning. Where do we get that from?
Yeah.
No, there's that Nobel Prize winning economist. He's an economist. He's not an early learning educator, but it's James Heckman. And he's done all the number crunching and he continues to see that this return on investment, actually, he's able to quantify it. I just say it's over 10% annual return. He's got it up to, I think, 13% annual return on investments in early learning. Because if you think about it, if you have those kids at the starting line, you know, and then school happens and they learn and they make progress, you're not having to do the remediation that's so expensive as you look through the system. So, you know, Heckman, I stay up to date. I used to go to the website, Heckman Equation, but now my superintendent, Mike Brophy, that guy is a dynamo. He's got me on Twitter, and Twitter has been so great for my own professional development. So on Twitter, there's at Heckman Equation, and with the latest research, they just tweet it out there, and boom, you're up to date on everything. So I really suggest everyone
there
get on
go.
Twitter.
Thank you.
Yeah, and get that Heckman Equation. The other one is Karen Mapp from Harvard. She's incredible with family engagement. I've learned so much from her. So, yeah, the Twitter is just, you get the latest research. It's great.
It is. It's amazing how much is out there. Okay? It's just astounding. I hope people take advantage of that. Your point about ROI, in actuality, it's the old sales trick. People say, how much does it cost? And the sales answer is that. You mean price or cost? Because there is a difference, okay? And quite frankly, there is a huge cost, forget the price, to not having good pre-K. If you don't have universal pre-K, okay, you're going to pay a cost that cannot almost be estimated, okay? It's unbelievable, all right? And so forget the price, okay? It's the cost that matters, and we have to do this. And I'm curious about something, gentlemen. I read a survey, I think it was last week, and I can't even remember where I read it, all right, that said one of the challenges out there is when you don't have universal pre-K. The kids who have pre-K go into kindergarten, and they're ready to move forward. But half the class is kids that didn't have pre-K. They're just now in kindergarten, and the teacher has to teach to that, I'll call it the lower end academically, okay, to bring them up to speed with the others so that by the end of the kindergarten experience, all the kids are equal whether they had pre-K or not because the teacher had to change the way they were teaching. And I'm curious, do you have talk about universal pre-K and the importance of that. And I'll leave it with Peter now. Peter, I hope I made my example clear. Do you guys see that?
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. You're actually right. And quite frankly, there's this this paper that came out, why the K-12 world doesn't embrace early learning. Part of it is because of the way this accountability system is that, you know, the standardized tests don't start till third grade. So people start focusing on third grade and up. But really, I mean, that's just like looking at, you know, short-term investment versus long-term investment. And focusing on early learning is a long-term investment, and you'll get great results if you do that. We actually have a very strong focus on kindergarten, because as you said, the kids come in at such a wide range. And we do have a school 2 years ago where we, at Mountain View Elementary, the kids came in at different ranges as always, but by the end of the school year, they had 100% of their students at the early literacy benchmark, 100%.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
It can be done, and the sooner that you do that intervention earlier, the better you're going to be as a system. Because, again, we got to think that this is kids we're talking about. And, again, to have that perspective on the whole system, we have wonderful opportunities as kids go into our high school. There's a registered apprenticeship they can go into where they get high school credit, college credit, and they get a salary. They make almost $30,000 a year their senior year of high school. And when I'm in this pre-K class for last year and I saw this kiddo, and the teacher said, oh, he's always building. He's doing Legos all the time. When it's choice time, he runs to the Legos, and he's building, building, building. In my mind, I'm thinking, I want that kid in our registered apprenticeship program when he's a senior in high school. That guy's going to be making money.
You just made me laugh because my starting teaching salary just outside of Philadelphia when I started, and by the way, I'm not 300 years old, but I'll tell you this anyway, was $6,700. Okay, $6,700. Okay, and amazing, it was like $100 a week, and I could live on it. But that was my
starting salary. We really focused on early learning. 30, is more 000. Than some people in their mind. Early learning means preschool, but early learning is that pre-K through third grade continuum, and you have to have investment across the way to keep the kids so that they can read at grade level by the end of third grade. So our investments in kinder are huge, and we really respect our kindergarten teachers, and we support them, and we have teacher leaders at kinder. And this program we have with our local college, we have people the first year, it's a residency model. The first year they do rotation to see where they want to do their student teaching. The second year, it's a full year residency. Last year, we had four people choose. They wanted to be kinder teachers, and they were in there a full year learning how to be the best kinder teacher that they can be. And we have, in West Valley, we had zero turnover at kinder last year. It's just, you know, we really respect the work that our kinder teachers do, and we want to support them, and we make it a high priority.
It's key stuff these days. Very different, by the way, when I went to school 16,000 years ago. I'm curious, Greg, you have pre-K there. Is it universal? Does everybody go to pre-K in Litchfield?
Yeah, we're unique, Larry. There's one thing that Illinois, for all of our problems, right? There was a senator that happens to be, and it's been my privilege, I've worked with him, who represents our area, Senator
Andy
Menar.
State senator.
And we worked on his task force to change the school funding formula that had to be changed in order to provide equity for all students in Illinois. And he is now the head of our early learning initiative at the state of Illinois to work on this universal preschool. We do have universal preschool. We receive a rather large block grant from the state of Illinois to cover all of our preschool programs, and the kids can come in and get screened to come to preschool. So we do have that benefit, and it's a great benefit. It's one that our legislature does fund. I mean, it's kind of hard to say you're going to cut early learning, right? You can hammer the K-12s, but early learning is near and dear to their heart. So I think the big challenge is to us, and we've done some tracking data on this, is that we have to continue to work with Head Start and our private providers, right, to work together so that all kids are receiving that quality learning experience. And I know Dr. Bergeron, who is the head of the Head Start nationally, and Peter and I have had the opportunity to meet with her through the early learning cohort, is that how we can form together partnerships to benefit our early learning with from birth to birth to five. And I think that that's important that we continue to work towards those partnerships. So that's one of the things that the early learning cohort has done, Larry, is and Peter will probably attest to this too, and it's knowing Peter. And, you know, Peter's got a great voice, Larry. he's a tremendous singer.
I didn't know. Whoa. Are you being serious?
Yes.
Peter?
Very serious. Wow, these are the things that you get to know people personally, right?
Wow.
And,
I love
and you
it.
Know each other's families and you know what's going on, right? But I think
That's
it's
great.
The partnerships that you meet with people outside of the cohort professionally, such as this symposium we had. It's amazing the knowledge that you gain from sharing with one another.
Absolutely. And I have to say something else right along with what you're saying. It's not. There's too many silos. As we build pre-K across the country, there are too many silos. You just mentioned Head Start. Then you have the school. Then you can go right down the list, Title I, go whatever you want. They all have to be coordinated. And when we can coordinate these, as you said, Greg, and build these partnerships and work together instead of working separately, okay, the answer becomes obvious. It's that simple. And as far as Peter having a good voice, I'm sure he can sing. Birds can sing, and he is a finch.
There we go. That's...
Sorry. That's a good
story.
Sorry
about that, Peter.
I'm sorry,
no,
Peter.
No, we do.
Resist.
Our family does my parents were both music teachers, and so we do an annual holiday concert benefit Habitat for Humanity. But remember, it's not a flock of finches. It's a charm of finches.
That is, that's all I can say on that one. It's just wow. Okay, that's fun to know. All right.
So now, if I could share, Larry, on the on the symposium, I went to this session that was with the American Consortium for Equity and Education.
Oh, my gosh, who runs that? But I do. Yeah,
yeah. And with your colleague Maya Appleby.
She's
and
wonderful.
That was really wonderful. I also should give a shout out that I am following your organization on Twitter. It's at Access Equity Ed, and I follow
Access
at Edu Talk Radio.
Yeah, Access to the number 2 Equity ED. Access to Equity ED. And by the way, Greg, feel free to join our consortium. I'll give the and anybody listening ace-ed.org, and please invite your staff. They're more than welcome.
Well, I'm in too, Larry. I took
Thank
notes
you,
the other day at the symposium.
You're always welcome, and you're always both of you are welcome to always write things, etc. You know, I want to ask
Larry. You forgot
what I said.
Larry,
yes.
You forgot
yes.
something important about the joining the consortium. It's free.
What's that? It's free.
It's
Thank
free.
You very much. It is free. I say it too often. Okay, but it is free, and we really want your voices heard out there. You know, my biggest takeaway, and Peter, you were in our breakout room, okay? But we got about 10 minutes left. But my biggest takeaway when we talked about all this was not anything particularly concrete, because there were so many ideas floating around, but it was the humanity of the equity situation. Okay, and so, you know, we talk about programs, we talk about big ideas, but we're really dealing with individual people. And Alicia, who we spoke to, okay, who was with us, etc. I mean, they just, the humanity of it, how it affects individuals, just struck me, okay, as something. Barb Bottoms was giving some examples. We had Ann Brown, who was talking about kid suicide. I mean, my Lord.
Yeah.
All right, and the humanity of the situation if we're not aware of these things. And that was my biggest takeaway, that if we don't do something, we start to forget that these are people involved. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Greg said it beautifully before about 20 minutes ago when he was talking about the challenges that the moms face, okay, even in a small, nice town like Litchfield. All right, and that was my biggest takeaway. And I'm curious, what was your – I'll ask Peter on this one. Peter, what was your biggest takeaway?
It was really interesting, the breakout, because it was, you know, a nice size that we could really have some great dialogue. And
yeah,
and we were
nice
talking
people.
About strategies for culturally responsive instruction and such. But then it really came down to how do we treat people? How do we work on our own implicit bias that we have?
Mm-hmm.
How do we slow down our decision making, like you said, and see the humanity of each other? And
yeah.
how do we make it a way of being, a way of acting? And they did talk about that early learning preschool often is very welcoming to families, and the K-12 system can be very bureaucratic and very unwelcoming.
Yeah.
How can we make
yeah.
our schools more family friendly? How can we have better family engagement? And I really think we need to invest in family engagement. We've known for 20 years now, Karen Mapp did that study. It's called A New Wave of Evidence. Well, A New Wave of Evidence isn't new anymore. It's 20 years old. And ever since that time, have we really been making investments in family engagement? CareMap has that dual capacity model where you look at supporting families and their agency and look at the school, and is it welcoming? Do you have
yes.
a sense of belonging? Is it that you have to fit into the school, or are you welcomed and have a sense of belonging that you belong at the school just the way you are? It's a lot of work that we still have to do in education.
There really is. By the way, I'm going to send you a book by friend Rich Bagan, who's the executive director of NSPRA. I only have one copy, so I'll send it to across the country to Yakima. Then I hope you'll share it with Greg. And it's called Make Your School a School of Choice. And it's all about building that welcoming community, all about having your school be part of it. I'll send you that book. You'll really enjoy it. Okay. What was your biggest takeaway? Well, go ahead. I'm sorry, Pete. Go ahead.
Oh, just the other thing is that we have made changes in our school district. We do a family engagement week to start the school year, and that's pre-K through 12, and we've done that for the past 2 years.
Nice.
And
nice,
our feeling
you.
Is that we want to get to know the students, get to know the families, so that we can personalize learning. How can you personalize learning if you don't know the family?
Exactly.
And how can you provide
bet
culturally
you.
Responsive instruction if you don't know
bet
what
you.
The culture of the family is? So I think
right.
we're making movements in the right direction.
You guys are. I know you are. And you're doing great. And everybody's got the best of intentions here. And it's slowly but surely we need to quicken it up. It's working. Greg, talk about what's going on with your biggest takeaway from Thursday's event.
You know, I went to the kindergarten breakout session. And, you know, Larry, we've got a big problem coming. I think that we were all in discussing in our conversation that, you know, we have a large group of kindergarten kids that just disappeared
mm-hmm.
with registration. And where are they?
Where
and,
are they?
And it was a common theme of the districts that were represented there that we're missing kids, whether it was, you know, and it's COVID related that they moved or where are they? And these kids are going to arrive back on our doorsteps to get an education, which we want them to do. But are they going to be out a year? What's the
right.
situation there? So, you know, we've got some other issues coming, you know, with that situation, too.
It's really scary, and the COVID thing is not done. I want to say something that you brought up, though, Greg, and I think I believe this is key. You were talking about a close relationship with a state senator, Andy Menard, is that correct? Was that his name?
Yes.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how important that is, okay, because the state senators literally can look at the state, okay, and make things happen. And I mentioned the other day how a state senator in Utah made universal pre-K more accessible to everybody in Utah. And I'm going to just say this here. Administrators need to connect with their state senators and their state representative, okay? And the fact that you're doing that says a lot to the high quality of education and administration that you're doing there at Litchfield. I got to tell you, it's the truth, Greg. It really is. I have to tell you a funny story, though. Your last name is Firstenau. It's spelled out here. But Deb McGee over at AASA, she wrote in parentheses the words first, then 10, then now. Okay? So I could pronounce it. But I looked at it the first time, and I'm thinking, is she speaking in code as though I couldn't read her name before? I'm thinking, why did she? What do these three words have to do with anything? And then I figured out it's the way to pronounce your name. Okay, that's Greg Firstenau, everybody. Okay, two great superintendents. Yeah, I know. It was just so funny when I read it. I said, what's them doing here? It's great. Okay, but I got to thank you guys. It's terrific. I want to do more. And Peter, I wrote you this morning. I don't know if you saw your email, but I want to talk to you about some of the things that are going on in your district. And you're always welcome here too, Greg. Okay, you really are, okay? And the work you guys are doing, and please join our consortium, write for us, okay? And let us get the word out via our magazine and on the website, et cetera. I mean, it's really important stuff, and you guys are right on top of it. I got to tell you, good luck with all this COVID mess. It's just a disaster. Greg, are things okay with the COVID thing? I know it's spiking in the Midwest.
Yeah, you know, we started August 17th, so we're approaching, we're starting our 11th week. So, you know, we just deal with it. You have cases, and then you just go about following your protocols. So, you know,
good.
We're educating kids, and that's a good thing.
Are you remote, or are you in school, or 100%, or
we're in person.
On? Good, good, and everybody's staying pretty healthy.
Yeah, you know, we really haven't had any impact on our staff. We've had to quarantine some kids, but other than that, you know, it's been as good as we could expect it.
I hope that continues. I really, really do. What's going on out
so
in Yakima?
Do I.
Yeah, I know you do. What's going on out there, Peter? Just real quick.
Well, we brought just last week. We brought back K-1 and 2, and we had pre-K prior to that in small groups. So, yeah, we're doing pre-K through grades 2 right now, and then next week we're planning to bring 3 and 4. So we're just kind of going stair step and making sure we have all our systems
baby
in
step.
Place and all the protocols. Yep, baby steps.
Yeah.
So. So far, so good, and we're glad for that. The other thing is that we could do a little tease maybe for another program is that, you know, I was hoping that in the future we could share about the Strengthening Families framework. It's a 5 protective factor framework, and we're really using that right now. We're calling on families, seeing if they need any concrete support in times of need, and we're also continuing to have this social connection for people. We're so isolated right now, but we're having all these quarantine, But we've been having Zoom meetings for parents, and we've been doing that all during the quarantine. We do it Tuesday night in English and Thursday night in Spanish.
Nice.
And it's really
nice.
Building a community of parents that are supporting each other. We bring in guest speakers from the community. We talk about the importance of the social-emotional foundations for all of us and self-care. I always tell people self-care is not selfish. You got to take care of yourself so you can be there for others.
Boy, that's
and,
for sure.
And, it's been really amazing, this family engagement we've had during the time of COVID-19. We've learned a lot.
I actually have on my schedule to call you today. We'll call you a little bit later. I didn't want to call you too early, though, because you are 3 hours behind me. So I will get to you today. I promise, Pete. All right. Greg, thanks a million. Stay safe out there, please, you and all your family and colleagues and all that. And, Peter, you too. And we'll be in touch, guys. Thanks a million. Thank you both.
Thank you, Larry. Have a great day.
My pleasure. You too. Stay safe, guys.
Thank you, Larry. Good
to see you later.
Good to hear Greg. He's a great leader out there.
Bye, guys. Okay. We got to go. Sorry. Pete, thank you. Peter Finch of West Valley near Yakima, Washington. Greg first announced the superintendent of Litchfield, Illinois, Litchfield Community Unit School District near Springfield, Illinois, kind of. That's close enough. All right, Route 55. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. We got to go. My name is Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening. Join our consortium at ace-ed.org.